school and broke just about every Division II passing record while playing college ball at Edinburgh. He's played professionally as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars and as the Buffalo Bills before signing with the Toronto Argonauts in 2012. Since he's been playing in the CFL, he's won two Grey Cup championships, one while he was with the Argonauts, and won another one as a member of the Ottawa Redblacks. And Trevor's currently signed with Edmonton. He signed with them in 2019 and is under contract until 2022. So they got themselves a good quarterback locked up for a few more years. During Trevor's time in the CFL, he set a record for most TDs in a playoff game at 6, the highest completion percentage in a playoff game at 91%, and his TD interception ratio over his career is an incredible 120 TDs against 52 interceptions, an amazing stat. And there's so many more, but we want to get to the interview. Trevor, welcome to the show tonight.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no, that's great having you. Good to see you back in Marion. I know you told me you get ready to leave for camp in April sometime, so I'm glad we got a hold of you before you left. I'm sure the hard work starts then, but I'm sure you're preparing now as well.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'd say the hard work is in the off season. That's kind of the grind. You try and put yourself through things that, you know, to prepare yourself for the season. That way, you're training. Outdoes your competition. And
sure.
You know that your preparation is bigger than any moment you face during a season, and that's kind of the aim of your training, right?
Oh, good. Good deal. We got a question for you. I'll lead off. We got a few questions here for you. I'll lead off with the first one. Trevor, tell us what it takes to reach that elite level as an athlete.
I'm a firm believer in Christ, and I'm a very Christ-centered person, so I think that first and foremost, you have to be rooted in something. Something's got to be the backbone of your life, and you've got to have something bigger than yourself. And, you know, whether that be your team, your faith, your family, you've got to have something bigger than yourself. And I think the one of the biggest realizations that I've had through the years that's helped me get to the point where I am is that it's not really about me. It's about who you're becoming in the process, and the things that you're kind of doing each and every day to better yourself, and how you can pass that on to help other people. Because at the end of the day, the accomplishments fade, but your impact on the next generation is really, really what counts. And so, what it takes to get there is a tireless work ethic. A lot of good people around you, and I've been very fortunate to be around some great people that has put me in great situations that care about me. And I feel like it's kind of my duty when I get, young quarterbacks that come into our organization or, young players that reach out to me in terms of, how do you play for, a decade and professionally, and want to pass those things on to the next generation and help people out as much as you can.
Oh, wow. That's great stuff. And I was hoping my nephew would be in the studio with us. He's a football player, and I'm sure he would like to be here, but his basketball practice got changed because of their school cancellation today. But, No, that's good stuff. It's good to hear you're rooted in family values, and that's where you draw your strength from. Matt, mm-hmm. Our other member of the Fire Brigade here, he's got a question for you, Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor, we'd just like to hear a little bit about your preparations for the coming up season and kind of how that's changed over your career, in even between leagues and things like that.
Yeah, that's a great question because, the preparation and the things I do in the off season are fluid, and I'm always looking for that 1%. And what I mean by that is I'm always flipping stones to see where that improvement comes from, because when you're in high school, maybe your first year of college, you kind of get that 10 to 12, 15% improvement. And once you're at the professional ranks or at the high level college, your last few years, it's really about how can you get 1% better, because the difference between the good and great is typically 1 or 2%. And so I'm constantly looking for that. I'm searching for that edge. And I used to just, get in the weight room and pound steel and just, lift weights and run and throw and go until you couldn't go anymore and then wake up and do it again. And now it's really about, to me, it's kind of evolved. I've started working with a neuroplastician, and he is a brain trainer, and it's called combat brain training. He trains Navy SEALs and teaches how to anticipate and get your brain to task switch efficiently. And so I started working with a neuroplastician a few years ago. I work with a human performance coach now. that deals with mental health, and not that right now I currently don't have any mental health issues, praise God, but all of us do to some degree, and need to find fulfillment, and she kind of keeps me centered and straight in that regard. I watch a lot of film. I, you know, like I said, I do my brain training and do a couple other things, and my training has changed to, you know, a lot of, you know, postural alignment specialists. I work with one of those, and I do my weight training as well, work on pliability. I go up and train at TB12 with Tom Brady's body coaches once an off season, and so, you know, I'm just constantly evolving and trying to learn things, and this off season I found a really great thing, program that's worked for me, and I recently became a certified nutritionist as well. That way I can, you know, learn and evolve and grow in my nutrition game and try and preserve my body as long as I can.
Definitely some good stuff there. I mean, I guess as a fan, you don't think about all those other things, you know, you do to prepare. So that's good stuff to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I said, I've just been really fortunate to be around some good people, and you know, when you keep knocking and keep searching for ways to improve, somehow or another, you just end up finding to get yourself in a situation where you can, you know, do those things, and you've got to go out and search for the resources. And like I said, I've just been really fortunate to be able to find some people that, you know, have been able to help me out in those regards.
That's good stuff, Trevor. That's really good. Can you touch on maybe a little bit, is there a difference in preparation maybe between, like, from your time in the NFL and your time? I know that, you know, with your body's changing as, you know, in those 8 to 10 years, but what, I mean, it seems to me watching Canadian Football League that it is more of a quarterback, a passing league. Is there a different set of preparations that you do for the CFL than what you did as opposed to when you were in the NFL?
You know, it's just like the way that you train. I think the way that you prepare, you evolve. If I would go back down to the NFL, I would prepare the same way that I do now in terms of, you know, my week-to-week preparation, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and get myself ready to play. But I think it's just I've learned so much through the years of how to prepare, you know, knocking on people's door that have been around Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers, and playing with guys that have been in the same room and asking them how they kind of do things, and then, you know, seeing if, you know, there's a couple things that I could pick up that I could add to my preparation the way that I do it. It has been really, really fun to do, and to just straight emulate somebody else's preparation wouldn't be right, because everybody's going to prepare a little bit differently, want to be authentic, do things the way that works for you. And just because Peyton Manning's one of the greatest of all time doesn't mean that's exactly how I should prepare. But I sure as heck can take some things from him and from people that have learned from him, and same thing with Brady and the way that he prepares his body. And so for me, it's just I watch a ton of film. I go through every play that we're going to have in the playbook that week and that game plan versus every coverage they're going to play. It's tireless. It's tedious. But to be honest with you, I enjoy every second of it. And it's just something that, you know, I wake up every day motivated because I don't want to let my teammates down. And that's something that I really pride myself on is, you know, being an elite preparation kind of guy.
Okay, that's great. I mean, it sounds like obviously what you're telling us is there is no off season, and you know, you found your strength in Christ that keeps you going and keeps you centered. I mean, that's some really great stuff for if we got any young viewers out there, and I know we do. We had our Super Bowl contest last week, and we had a young viewer, Gavin, from all the way out in Wallingford, Connecticut, won one of our gift cards this week. So I know he's listening. He's an athlete, and I'm sure hope he's listening, because you're really giving our young athletes some good stuff here. Our other winner, by the way, was Floyd from Marion, Ohio. They both picked the Buccaneers and were closest on the score, so congratulations to our two winners from last week.
How close did they get the score?
Gavin was the closest. He picked the Bucs in an overall of 52, and Floyd from Marion, Ohio, picked the Bucs in a 60-point score. So I think everybody was expecting the score to be a little higher. I know this panel, I picked the highest. I went like 83 points. I thought it was going to be a shootout. But I guess when you keep Kansas City out of the end zone, it really cuts the score down.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they really put on a show. Yeah.
It makes it really difficult when you got linebackers that can run side to side.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm sure. Colton, you got a question. Colton's got a question for you, Trevor.
Yeah, I want to just know, a little preview of Edmonton's upcoming season and just kind of the team goals for this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's a good question. We're hoping to get this season started on time, and we obviously have goals to win a championship, but if you don't have a goal to win a championship, like, it doesn't make you unique. So, like, to say we want to win a championship, so does every other team in the NFL and CFL. That's real, real good, real awesome, right? And so we kind of set that goal and we put it aside, and we say, what do we have to do on the day-to-day to be the team that is going to win that championship? And that's getting there early. It's paying attention to detail in meetings. It's being sharp in walkthroughs. It's complete buy-in. It's great attitude. It's great effort, and it's learning from our mistakes. And those things alone are going to just carry us. And as long as we have great work ethic, attitude, pay attention to what we're doing, stay locked in, learn from our mistakes, grow every week, and make sure that we're loving each other and putting our arms around each other as teammates and growing as brothers and having a true brotherhood, those are the things that are going to get us to our goals. And so creating the culture that allows us to do those things on the day-to-day is really where my mind is as a leader of this team. Trying to get everybody on the same side of the rope, pulling in the same direction so that we can all have those same ideas. And, when you do that, the numbers, the wins, the championships, the records, all those things, they take care of themselves. If you focus on those records, you'll lose sight of the important stuff, which is really the camaraderie, the growing, the peaking at the right time, and those sorts of things.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. What are kind of some of your individual goals, or maybe some things that you want to improve on, in this upcoming year that, maybe you weren't doing as well, last year, but want to improve upon this year?
Yeah, obviously for me, doing the right things in terms of tissue work and preparing my body so that I can withstand any hit and play all 18 games is really one first and foremost, because the best ability you can have, the cliche, is dependability and availability. And those things, I want to be dependable and available for my team every game. And aside from that, I don't too much worry about numbers and stats. And I know that people probably roll their eyes and say, yeah, you do, but I really don't. I don't care. I want what's best for my teammates. I want to love my teammates. And I want my teammates to succeed. I want our DBs to set records for interceptions, and I want my receivers to set personal bests for receiving yards, and I want my running back to block well and set career highs with receiving and rushing, and I want our O-line to not give up sacks, and those things motivate me more than throwing a certain amount of touchdowns, and seeing my teammates succeed and lift up a trophy at the end of the year and celebrate wins in the locker room throughout the year. Those are the things that I really pride myself on. But individually, I want to, just continue to grow mentally so that I can anticipate as well as I can. I want to continue to work on, pinpoint accuracy and throwing on time and being able to avoid rushes, ball security, those sorts of things. And obviously taking care of the football is first and foremost. And that's all predicated on decision-making and knowing what you're looking at and, throwing on time. And so, those things all kind of coincide with the way that I go about my training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you kind of touched on it a little bit. The leadership in the locker room and kind of gaining the trust of the rest of your teammates. How have you been able to do that? I know you've bounced around to a couple of different teams. How have you best been able to kind of gain that leadership in the locker room?
It's a great question, and a lot of people say the word leadership, and I don't think people know what it means. And to tell you my definition of what leadership is it's influence. And so how are you being a good leader is how are you influencing? And, there's a such thing as a bad leader, and that's a bad influencer is what it is. And so I do everything I can to be a good influencer, to really show my teammates I love them and care about them. We're apart from each other in the offseason. So I reach out to them and I text them to see how their family's doing. And, I try and call five or six guys on the team every day and just check in with them. Just to let them know I'm thinking about them, I care about them, and ask them their goals and the things that they want to accomplish. Because those become my goals, is get my teammates for those sorts of things. And, just on the day-to-day when you're around people, asking somebody how they're doing and not just not just the cliche question of how you're doing. Ask them how they're doing, and ask them how their family is. Learn their family members' names, and truly care about them. And those sorts of things go a long way when you're talking about sort of influencing others and helping others along the way.
Yeah, I know that's good stuff. You know, I think that, you know, that can apply to anybody and any kind of, you know, work that they do.
Absolutely.
Not just being, you know, a starting quarterback in the CFL, that can apply, you know, to anybody that's, you know, trying to be a leader or show some leadership qualities.
Absolutely. Hey. There's no question about it. It's a great point. Whether you're the CEO of BP, or if you're, you know, a teacher in a school or whatever it is, leadership applies. It's everywhere. And everybody's a leader. And it's just, you know, you can ask yourself that simple question. Like, when I wake up tomorrow, or, you know, when I interact with others, am I giving energy or am I taking energy from them? How am I influencing other people? Am I getting them to see the better parts of the world, or am I just complaining and, you know, those sorts of things? And so I think it's a great question for anybody to ask themselves.
Yeah, no, that's good.
We had a internet question come in, Trevor. It's something I'm sure you can tell us. You touched on the 18-game season, regular season, a little bit, but tell us how the CFL playoff, for people that aren't familiar, how the CFL playoffs go and then into the championship as compared to what they do here in the United States that some of our viewers might be more familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Playoffs in the CFL is the top team in the East Division and the top team in the West Division get a bye, and they get the number one seed. And then the second best team and the third best team in the East play each other. The second best team and the third best team in the West play each other. And so number two and three seeds from the East play, and the winner plays the number one seed from the East, and then the same thing from the West. Two and three seed from the West play, and then they go to play the team that won the West, and that's the Western final and the Eastern final, and then whoever wins those two games go to the Grey Cup.
And that's all, they're like back-to-back weeks. I mean, there's, other than getting a bye in the first round, if you're the East or West champion, that's, you play every week, no break in between.
Yep, it's 3-week playoff, and if you're the 2-seed or 3-seed, you play that first round, the second round, or hopefully the third round.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot. That was helpful to some of our viewers. We got that text into us just a couple minutes ago. Wanted to kind of maybe get into the NFL a little bit, if you don't mind. If you know, I don't know. I know you're a busy guy, and I know you're a sports fan, but I know like your career and your family and stuff comes first. So we'll let's start out by you giving us your impression of the quarterback play in this year's Super Bowl.
I think this Super Bowl is a good lesson in terms of what quarterback play is and what it isn't. And quarterback play is not a one-man show. And, you know, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, he's the best quarterback in the world. Him and Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, are the best playing in the world right now. And if you don't have protection, you can't get it done. And that's why, you know, the kind of the chess analogy is, if the quarterback is the king of the team, you've got to put people in place to protect him. Because if you don't have any protection, then it's going to be pretty difficult to get things done. And as you can see, Tom Brady was protected well. He did a great job of getting the ball out quick. That wasn't just as a line, just, you know, being a brick wall. He was able to get the ball out quick, make quick decisions, and had a great game plan to slow down Kansas City's rush. And when Tampa Bay was getting pressure with four, when you don't have to blitz and you can get pressure, that other offense is in a lot of trouble. And so...
Yeah, I agree. I saw a stat where they Mahomes was pressured on 29 of his dropbacks. That was the most in Super Bowl history. And for the most part, the Buccaneers did it without sending an extra rusher. They did it with their front four. And I think that was a big key to the game right there.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But did you see Mahomes? I mean, those, some of the throws he was making, the incompletions were just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, just to show his talent, I mean, he's making, like, I think you remember Dodgeball with White Goodman.
Yeah.
Left making that throw. Like, I mean, Mahomes did that, and he was, like, throwing seeds out there. It was incredible to watch him do those things with the pressure he was getting, making cornerbacks miss when they were, you know, blitzing free. And the athlete that he is, and he has a messed up toe, too. So it's truly unbelievable, you know, watching him play. When he gets protected and they get, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you know, they match them up really well with, you know, going 3-by-1 nub and split out Kelce and are able to formation people and create matchups and run low and high meshes. And it's truly amazing watching their offense. And Andy Reid's a big CFL film watcher from what I've been told, and he gets a lot of CFL concepts from all of the motions and stuff that we do. So you can kind of see the creativity in their play calling and what he does.
I do think Andy Reid's one of the most innovative offensive coaches in the NFL right now. He comes up with stuff that nobody else is using, and it very well could be pulling that from the CFL.
He's not afraid to try something new, you know, try something different that, you know, nobody else is trying, you know, give them a chance to, you know, see what they can do, because they definitely got the athletes, the, you know, the players to make it work on that Kansas City offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do.
Watching Mahomes play, some of those throws that he makes from different arm angles, he was a two-sport athlete in college. I think maybe some of that comes from his years of playing baseball. You were a two-sport athlete in high school as well, Trevor. Still pick up the round ball?
Three-sport athlete,
that's right, yeah. Do you still pick – I remember watching you play high school basketball. You still pick up the round ball anymore, or you kind of –
I tell you, I miss basketball. It was always my first love, and I used to go – my freshman, sophomore year in high school, I used to go to the gym and shoot hoops at 6 in the morning, and I'd get up 200 or 300 jump shots before because I thought I was going to go to Kentucky or Duke and play basketball. I got to about my junior year, and I was like, I don't think I'm quite athletic enough. I can snap the rim and dunk it every once in a while, but
yeah.
I don't think it's going to get it done. So that's kind of another great message, I think, for any kids and even the parents, listening. Stop telling little Timmy that he's a specialist in basketball when they're sixth grade. Let them play all the sports. It well-rounds them. It teaches them a lot of life lessons and being a part of something bigger than themselves. And I know that all the college coaches that I've talked to and worked with, they like multi-sport athletes. And a lot of times when they specialize in a certain sport, they learn the wrong lesson that it's about them. And they need to realize, and I think this is just my opinion, I'm not speaking in absolutes, but I think that it's a good lesson for people to know that, it's not about just the boy or girl in these situations. It's about being a part of a team and knowing that playing professionally for a long time and taking care of your family is not likely. It's possible and it can happen. I'm not saying it can't, but it's a great lesson and a great way for the kids to be well-rounded and develop that selfless mentality instead of just specializing in one sport, because that puts a lot of pressure on the kid too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that as well.
We got another question. You kind of touched on, your preparation and things of getting ready for the season and, all the things that you do and things like that. We were just curious, if there were any kind of, non-sport related things that you have done, throughout your years, to help you get prepared to be where you're at today.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along with the brain training that I've done. I've done some brain training, and actually this last offseason, I went back to school and became a certified nutritionist, and I became a certified personal trainer as well. That way, during the off-seasons, instead of paying a personal trainer, I can, micromanage my own, and there's nobody that knows your own body like yourself. And so the fact that I can, custom make my nutrition plans and create my own, systems for and programs for working out has been a game changer for me. And in terms of doing stuff aside from my favorite family outside of football, I hate to say it, but it's not really my cup of tea. I'm kind of in the mindset of I do things that run parallel with my career, because I want to be the greatest version of myself that I can be for my teammates, and I'm one of those people that I'm okay devoting most of my life to, getting as good as I can at football, being a great Christ follower as I can, and loving my family and friends. And, aside from that, I'm not going to be the guy that is real handy around the house. I'll spend most of my time trying to become the best football player and leader I can be for my team.
Yeah. I think we can all take a lesson from that and, just try to be the best version of ourselves, no matter what that is or what we specialize in, just trying to be the best we can be at that particular thing. So that's good.
Yeah, no doubt. And you said it really well there. I appreciate that.
Yeah. One last question. You know, we talked about, you know, getting recognized and, you know, kind of getting to that next level, you know, elite level of, you know, taking it from high school to college to, you know, the pros. I was just wondering, you know, for a young kid that may or may not be trying to get, you know, noticed by college scouts, you know, kind of what the process is, or, you know, how do you get noticed, or how do you get more notice or notoriety?
Yeah, and that's where the high school coaches come into play. That's where, you know, a lot of times I hate to say it, but college coaches just, they go for the kids that are just bigger and faster and stronger and those sorts of things. But, you know, there's other ways to do it, obviously. And that's what I'm trying to get at is, you know, you can get out and go to camps, go to college camps, go to, you know, if you feel like, that, you know, football or volleyball is your thing, find some club volleyball teams and find some volleyball coaches that specialize in what you're trying to get good at, that know people, and creating connections, and, you know, going to those camps where you can get yourself in front of those college scouts, and rarely do they look at, you know, stats. And so I think that a lot of kids, you know, get wrapped up in stats, and it's more about, you know, your skill level and, you know, how they see you fitting into their program more than their stats. And it's a fluid process, and you just got to just kind of keep putting your best foot forward every day, trying to improve and be the best version of yourself you can. And, you know, for me in college, I was at a Division II school, and I was going into a calculus test, and my head coach called me and was like, "Hey, Trev, the Eagles and Bills are here to see you." And I was close with my coach in college. I was like, "Coach, get out of here." I was like, "I got a calculus test. I'll call you back after this, though." And I hung up on him, and I got a text from him. He's like, "Trevor, I'm serious. The Eagles and Bills are here to see you."
That's funny.
I was like, "Oh, man." And so, like, I just think it didn't happen overnight. It happened because I just did the best I could with where I was and used what I had. And that's really all I did every single day. I didn't focus on the NFL. The NFL came because I focused on the process of, you know, loving my teammates and get better every day. And by the grace of God, that's how it happened. I don't think you get there by focusing on the end goal. I think you get there by focusing on the process of getting better.
No, thank you. That's good advice. Now, not everybody can be Tom Brady and play till they're 43, Trevor, but, I mean, you've kept yourself pretty healthy, and I think that's a testament to your workout regimen. But how long do you plan to play, and what's your plans after you retire?
So I've always told myself that I'm going to play until I feel like God will tell me when I'm done. And what I mean by that is I'm a tireless worker. I'm a vicious work ethic kind of guy. And the minute that I can't look at my teammates in the eye and tell them that they have the hardest working quarterback that exists on the planet, is the day that I'll be done. And so I don't know when that fire burns out. I don't feel like I'm on the back nine or any of that thing. And, you know, just learning some of the things I've learned about training and, you know, pliability and keeping your body young and, you know, postural alignment and these sorts of things and doors that I've been able to knock down by the grace of God, you know, it would be nice to play till in my 40s, but, you know, like I said, I might get done next year and I might feel like it's time to move on. And when I'm done, I'm going to go into college or pro coaching. I've been offered some jobs at some of the levels that I've really wanted to get started at. And I've been told by several people on a multitude of levels that, you know, when I'm done and ready to hang them up, they told me to call them and they're going to hire me. So, you know, I'm not going to tell God my plans because I think that's what makes him laugh, but I plan on coaching when I'm done, but I don't want to close doors on other avenues that I've started to think about as well through this pandemic.
That's great. All right, well, I know you got two young kids at home that you want to spend some time with. You're welcome to stick around for the last 15 minutes of our show. We're just going to talk some more sports, but if you need to go, we understand. We really want to thank you for coming on, Trevor. It's been a pleasure. I think you've given our young athletes that are listening out there, you know, some good advice, some things to think about, as well as the parents, not just the athletes themselves, but the parents and how they're, you know, going about this. You approached it in the right way by keeping God a center, you know, a focus point in your life and your family. And so, you know, One more question before we let you go. Who do you admire most? Who's your hero, Trevor?
Well, I mean, Jesus is my hero. And I know that's cliche and it sounds crazy, or, you know, a lot of people may roll their eyes like, oh, of course, Jesus. But every leadership book I've ever read, you know, it boils down to a couple key principles, and it's caring about others, loving others. And you know, every leadership principle that I've ever seen modeled is modeled in the Bible. It was modeled by Jesus. And, you know, he just cared, and, you know, was sinless in terms of, you know, caring about others and loving others. And, you know, so I really try and aspire to be that, and I'm far from it. I'm very faulty. I've got plenty of things that I need to work on, but, you know, I obviously want to aspire to be like somebody like that. But other than that, you know, my parents have really been true role models for me in my life in terms of sacrifice. And that's kind of, they've been my heroes in terms of, you know, paving the way for sacrifice. My parents have sacrificed a lot in their lives for us kids, for me and my two sisters and brother to achieve the things that we wanted to achieve. And, you know, that boils down to being selfless. And, you know, those things are things that I aspire to be, you know, like my parents.
That's great that you're brave enough to speak your mind on that. Some people are maybe timid when it comes to their faith and you know, their love of family and stuff. You know, they want to pick a shining star that's out there, you know, in the media or in sports. And the fact that, you know, your heroes are time honored, I think speaks to your character as well.
Yeah, and just one more thing to the kids out there, Don't be afraid to tell your mom and dad you love them. I call my mom every day. I'm a mama's boy. I don't tell anybody that. You know, my mom's a cancer survivor, and my parents were almost died in a motorcycle accident, you know, about 9 years ago. And I call them every day and tell them I love them. And your parents care about, you know, you more than you know. And so, you know, just make sure you tell them you love them every day. And those things are going to go a long way, and you can learn a lot from your parents. I know you might think they're kind of silly or stupid when you're 14, but when you become about 30 years old, all of a sudden they become really, really wise. And, so get ahead of the horse here and make sure you tell your mom and dad you love them, and your parents or whoever is your guardians are, they're going to help you out a lot in life.
Great to hear. I think that really starts to hit home when you have kids of your own, which, like I, you know, mentioned earlier, you got a couple of your own, and that the stuff that your parents have been pounded into your head the last, you know, 30 years of your life really start to hit home when you start having kids of your own. It's like, oh, my parents weren't as dumb as what I thought they were.
Exactly. When everything breaks in the house, I'm calling my dad. I'm not sure I paid attention, but he told me how to do this.
Very good.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm going to go down and play my son in the Nintendo Switch. I don't know how to play it, and he does, and he beats me up on his little game. So.
All right. Well, you'll have to work. You'll have to work on that next. Thanks for joining us this evening, Trevor, and good luck in the upcoming season.
Appreciate it. Anytime, guys. Anytime you guys want me back on, just let me know.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Good stuff from Marion's own Trevor Harris.
Yeah, that's a true role model right there. These kids got a lot to look up to with that. I'll tell you what, I'll be a big time fan now. I'll be watching a lot more, hearing all that.
Yeah, absolutely. With the internet now, you can catch a lot more of those CFL games than what you used to be able to. So,
and with them playing in a different season than the NFL, you know, playing over like the summertime, you know, you can catch the games, you know, while the NFL's not going on. So you can catch football.
Still get your football fix in the off season from the NFL, and it's fun to watch. It's a very pass oriented game. It's, if you like to see teams score, it's a high scoring affair. It's a fast paced game.
You got those receivers with the running start,
it's
the arena, 110
yard field.
It's
a little more wide open.
It's really fun to watch, folks. We got a question that came in on the internet last week that we put off till tonight, and there's been some new developments with some other quarterbacks in the league. But the internet question to start with that was the top three landing spots for Carson Wentz. Colton, you want to lead us off with your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I can't really think of, let's say, top three, but I know for sure, you know, top two right now, I would say, are Indianapolis and Chicago. Those are the two teams I'm hearing the most, you know, talk about. And it makes sense for both those teams. I mean, Philip Rivers is retiring, you know, from the Indianapolis Colts.
Didn't the Colts just draft somebody last year, though, that they thought was going to be their
Jacob,
next guy?
Jacob Eason, I believe.
Yeah.
Quarterback out of Washington is there. But, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, is a proven guy. You know what you're kind of getting, let's say, with him, mm-hmm. you know, with this rookie that they drafted.
Right.
You don't know what – I mean, you've seen him in college. You've seen what he can do, but – you know, is he ready to take that next step yet, let's say? So, you know what you're getting with Carson Wentz. So, it makes sense for the Colts to at least be interested, let's say.
Right.
You know, and the same with Chicago. It seems that, you know, Mitch Trubisky's days are numbered in Chicago.
Absolutely.
You know, in and out, you know, start in and out of the starting lineup this year. Nick Foles replaced him a couple of times. You know, they ultimately went back to Trubisky and, you know, let him to the playoffs or, you know, close to the playoffs, you know, I think it makes sense. You know, Carson Wentz, yeah, he had a rough year this year, but you know, he is a proven quarterback. He has a heck of an arm, you know. So I could see, you know, Chicago being in there. And I guess if I had to throw out a third team, I would say San Francisco at this point. You know, everything that I'm hearing.
Yeah, they're ready to move on from Garoppolo.
They're not satisfied from what they've gotten, you know, with Garoppolo. And what I'm also hearing, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, the head coach out there in San Francisco, he's a QB whisperer. He mm-hmm. you know, is able to put his quarterbacks in positions to be successful. So
what happened to Garoppolo? Was it the injuries that
I just I don't know. I don't know. I think injuries
just got gun shy.
Yeah. I think
Just seemed like he fell off, you know.
Yeah.
Tell you though, Wentz in Chicago, that'd be some ultimate irony, going there to then replace Foles who had the Super Bowl success when Wentz went down.
Right.
It'd be quite the circle there.
Right. It would be the whole, you know, full 180 there in the NFL. But, you know, I would say, those are three teams I think are your probably top teams, you know, Indianapolis, Chicago, and San Francisco.
They all need somebody solid. There's no doubt about that. Their QB play for the past couple seasons.
Any chance Belichick?
What I'm hearing, the interesting thing, you know, since I did throw out San Francisco, the interesting thing that I am hearing is that Garoppolo could be headed back to New England.
Success.
You know, so, you know, that would be, you know, maybe that's what
started this whole
needs.
Thing.
Maybe that's what Garoppolo
Belichick
needs.
Belichick wanted Garoppolo, and the management wanted Brady.
Right. So, you know, it could be, you know, Garoppolo going back to New England where he, you know, was there for several years, never got, you know, a significant amount of playing time, but, you know, back in a system that at least he knows and is comfortable with. So it wouldn't take a lot of adjustment time.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a real interesting development there. And, like, that could really help turn New England back around after their not terrible season, but definitely not.
And their quarterback play was not stellar this year. And, you know, maybe it's a thing where Garoppolo fits better in Belichick's system, you know, and that might be part of the problem. Some other quarterback talk that we picked up on right before the show started, kind of some interesting news. The Dallas Cowboys put out a hype video for next season, and there was a pretty important piece missing from the whole video, and that was Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the hype video at all, so there's some question marks in Dallas. They're saying it was an oversight. I don't know. You don't have an oversight on your leader of your team.
That's a pretty big oversight.
Yeah, I'm not buying that coming out of Dallas. But, so
you know, he wants too much money. I think if they move on, it's justified. He hasn't proven really anything in this league, and he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. The money he's asking for hasn't been justified, and if they move on, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm a Cowboys fan, so you know I can see the reasons why he's asking for the moon, and he hasn't done anything to deserve it yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think? What, you know, which route do you think they go? Then, you know, if they do let, you know, Prescott walk, you know, are they going to trade for, you know, maybe Carson Wentz? Maybe, you know, one of these.
Yeah, they could be a dark horse for him.
For him, or do you think they go the draft route? Maybe try, you know, they don't have a great pick there in the first round, but maybe they try to move up and draft one this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're saying Fields could still be on the board when New England picks. Is that after Dallas, or are they before?
Yeah, I think they're after.
So, I mean, that could be an interesting pick up there, get Fields. He's a top five talent that could drop to him. If that happens, do you take a stab there?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, like I said, you know, could even go the veteran route as well. You know, like I said, Carson Wentz is, you know, obviously available. You know, there's other quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's going to Dallas. You know, there was kind of a rough, you know, with Mike McCarthy, you know, ending. I don't see that really working out if Aaron Rodgers is on the trading block or, you know, deciding to do whatever he does.
And they don't have the capital to go get Houston's quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
They don't have the draft pick, so I don't think to be able to get him.
He's going to be expensive. Deshaun Watson is going to be expensive.
You know, as many draft picks as they can, and then throw in, you know, maybe a couple of their top level guys too. Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to work out.
Either. Yeah, there's a lot of quarterback stuff going on. You know, with Big Ben, he said he's willing to rework his contract to get them some cap space like Tom Brady did, you know, his last few seasons there in New England. And, you know, it worked for Tom Brady. Maybe Big Ben seeing that in Pittsburgh where they, you know, he reworked his contract so they could add some firepower to that offense. Maybe, you know, I don't see Big Ben leaving Pittsburgh, but be interesting to see how they work that out. The other QB news was Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, I'm thinking NBA basketball. Russell Wilson did a interview today, and I don't know how it came up, but they talked to him about getting traded, and I think it kind of caught him off guard. And he said, "Well, that's not a Russell Wilson question." He said, "That's a Seattle Seahawks question." Was his reply? So it doesn't sound like Russell Wilson wants to go anywhere, but who knows? I think that was a big question mark
that'll be crazy.
Raise some eyebrows, I guess.
I think he also did kind of touch on how many hits he's taken over the years. You know, I was kind of listening to something on the way here to the studio, and you know they were talking a lot about how many QB hits he's taken, how many sacks he's taken. They haven't had the greatest of offensive line the years he's been there. So, and he is kind of a mobile, kind of scrambling quarterback. You know, that's taking a toll on those knees.
Might be something else to look at Dallas though. They just hired the old defensive coordinator there from Seattle. And
how long has Russell Wilson been in the league? How long has he been in the league? 9 years?
2009.
I think probably eight to 9 years.
And they said over that he's taken more hits than any other quarterback. The only one that was close was Matt Ryan from the Falcons.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, you're starting to see linebackers be able to catch Russell Wilson from behind, and you never used to be able to see that before. I got one more question that just came in. They want to know about, have you heard anything about Aaron Rodgers going to Jacksonville?
Yeah, no, I haven't really heard anything about that any more than that. You know, I heard some grumblings in the beginning, or you know, something that Urban Meyer, some kind of blockbuster trade, or you know, whatever he's going to try to pull off to get him. I just don't. I don't see that. I don't see Aaron Rodgers being interested in that. So
he wants to go to a contender, I think. All right, well, we've got about 30 seconds, I think, left here in the show. Again, we want to thank Trevor Harris for being on the show. He did a great job for us, and congratulate our winners, Gavin from Connecticut and Floyd from Marion, Ohio, our big Super Bowl giveaway winners. And we're going to be on next week, Monday at 7:15. Hopefully we'll get Braden back in the studio with us next week. We'll have a full crew again. But thanks for listening, all our listeners out there. And, again, you can find us on Spotify, Google, Apple Play. We're out there in media land, so
you're listening to
hit us up.
WPH Radio, 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.